Thank you so much for joining us and joining us in person. How many know it's an awesome day? It's a beautiful day. I put on my social media, it's the best hour of your week. How many know that? This is the best hour of your week. How many are happy to be in the room? How many are happy to be here? I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy. Are you happy? Just happy for what God has for us today. I'm happy for what He's going to do in our hearts and lives. Happy that you're joining us in the room if you're with us online. Happy that you're with us. I know that these next few moments have the potential to change your life. I believe that this new sermon series we're going to kick off and this study in our transform groups is going to change your life. I truly believe that. So my prayer for you this morning is that you come with an open heart and say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Speak to my life. Change me. Help me to hear not what pastor has to say, but help me to hear what your spirit has to say. Help me to hear and receive all that you have in store for me today. Can we bow our heads in prayer? I know we've prayed a couple times already, but can we just pray for, as we kick off this series, Lord Jesus, here we are in your presence. Here we are, Holy Spirit, present with you, present with our community, present with one another. And Lord God, I pray that you open our hearts and lives as we receive from your word today. Because Lord, I know you have something in store for us. I know you want to speak to us. Because I know you love us. May your blessing be upon our time together in Jesus' name. And everyone together says amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at the scripture for this morning. The scripture this morning says, look to yourselves that we do not lose the things we work for. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. A full reward. Today we're just talking about honor's reward. Today we're going to talk about the reward of honor. The reward of honor. I wonder how many know and believe that God loves to reward his children. I wonder how many of us here today believe and know that God wants to reward you. And that God wants to reward me. And that God wants to reward us. God loves to bless his children. God loves to bless us. God wants to reward us. And I don't know about you, but I love rewards. I love blessings. I love recognition sometimes. When I was in fourth grade, I remember the very first time I received some recognition. Fourth grade, I grew up in the Bronx, and we had a graduation. I guess they have fourth grade graduations during that time, right? From elementary to middle school, right? So fourth grade graduation. And at the very end of the graduation, they had a special award to give. This is probably the only time I've ever won an award or got any kind of award. It was the Congressman's Medal of Merit. And I'll never forget the day that they called my name. I was the recipient of the Congressman's Medal of Merit in fourth grade. I still have it. My parents gave it to me a few years ago, and I forgot to bring it today. Shoot, it was in my drawer. You know, I've had it there for years, and I kept reminding myself, I got to bring it, I got to bring it, I got to bring it. And then I got here, and I forgot it. But I would love to have shown you 40 years ago, the Congressman's Medal of Merit. Why is that so important to me? Because it's the only medal I've ever gotten and the only medal I'll ever receive. But it was a defining moment to receive that award, that recognition. It was a defining moment for me. I just remembered that at that moment in fourth grade, I felt valued. I felt important. And I can't help to think that if I felt that way, receiving the Congressman's Medal of Merit that no one even remembers, no one even cares. They didn't even engrave my name on it. They didn't even do that. There was a place on the back you could do that. They didn't even do that. If I felt that way about receiving the Congressman's Medal of Merit, can you imagine what it's going to be like when you are rewarded by God? Can you imagine the moment in which God calls your name and rewards you? First of all, just think for a moment that God, who are we that God would even reward us for anything? Who are we that God would even reward you and reward me? Who are we that God would take the time and say, I'm going to reward my children? But he does, and he wants to, and he will, and he desires to reward us. And I just can't help to think how I'm going to feel the moment when I see my Redeemer face to face, and he calls my name, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Notice, he's not going to call us leaders. He's going to call us servants. And he recognizes my service unto the Lord here on earth. So what's a reward? Let me just briefly, a biblical reward is something given in return for a good thing done, a service redeemed, a service rendered, or some merit earned. That is what God wants to give his children. That's what God wants to give us. He wants to reward us. He is a rewarding God. Hebrews 11:6 says that he's a rewarder. That's what he's called. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God wants to reward us. Now, there's two kinds of rewards. There's earthly rewards, in which God rewards us in the natural, in right here on earth. He rewards us with good things. He blesses us with good things. He rewards us with favor. He rewards us with blessing. He rewards us with good health. He rewards us and blesses us here on earth. I'm so grateful for the rewards of God here on earth. And there are times in which we are going to be recognized for what we've done for the Lord. There are times in which we will be appreciated for what we've done here on earth. And there, those are earthly rewards that we get that come when God rewards his children. God is a rewarder. God wants to reward us. God wants to reward you. He wants to reward me. And he wants to reward us, first of all, with earthly rewards. But let's look at the next scripture, which says, the righteous will be rewarded on the earth. Isn't that awesome? The righteous will be rewarded in the earth. There is that earthly reward. For who? For the righteous. For those who follow him. For those who serve him. For those who honor God. There is great reward. What we do for the Lord is not in vain. And what we do for the Lord is not for any person. It's for God. Your service here on earth is as unto the Lord. And when you do it unto the Lord, there's great reward. If you serve and do it unto man, there's not going to be reward. But if you serve and serve unto the Lord, the Bible says, in everything we do, we will be rewarded. Here, the righteous will be rewarded in the earth. So we have earthly rewards, but then we have eternal rewards. Rewards that we get in eternity. And I can't wait for those eternal rewards. And I am looking for those eternal rewards. Why? Because everything we've earned on earth will eventually disappear. Everything. Every medal you get, my poor medal, it's not going to come with me. It's already falling apart. Your rewards here on earth, however God rewards you with blessings financially, spiritually, in any way, those things, anything that you earn here on earth, you cannot take with you. I know we're in sports seasons, and it's all about championships. It's all about World Series trophies and Super Bowl trophies. It's all about who has the most Super Bowls. To be honest with you, when you breathe your last breath, it won't even matter, because you can't take a Super Bowl trophy with you, and you can't take a World Series trophy with you, and you can't take an MVP trophy with you, and you can't take the things of this world with you. And if you're working your life to earn earthly rewards or to achieve anything on this earth, and if that's your sole purpose, at the end of your life, you're going to be surprised, because you can't take anything with you. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be pleasing, to be well-pleasing to him. Okay. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Then he says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who appears? I should have highlighted this. I always think of highlights when I'm actually teaching it. All. We all must appear before the judgment. Who's Paul talking to? He's talking to followers of Jesus. He's not talking to people who don't follow him. There's two types of judgment in the New Testament. There's the judgment seat of Christ, and there's the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is for anyone who has not received forgiveness of sins in their life. It's for anyone who has not made that decision to follow Jesus. Their sin will be judged before the great white throne of God, and they will be cast into the lake of fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. My friends, I just want to tell you that heaven is real and so is hell. Hell is real, and it's a place that God created not for his children. He created it for the devil and his angels. But because sin came into the world, all of us are destined to death. All of us, because of the sin that we invoked, the penalty that we paid, because no one's perfect, not one. And because we have all sinned, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Each one of us have a death sentence on us. Each one of us born into this world have a death sentence on us. And for those who awaken in their spirits and in their minds and make that decision to give their lives to Christ and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are forgiven, they are washed, they are cleansed, they become the righteousness of God. But for those who reject the gospel, for those who reject the lordship of Christ, for those who reject the deity of Christ, they will face the great white throne judgment. And there, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Everyone. Every leader in the world. Every person who curses God. Every person who rejects the gospel will bow one day and declare with their mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. They will. So don't get all worked up with the politics of the world. Don't get all worked up with the evil in the world. Don't get all worked up with people. You're not the judge. He is. He's the judge. You're not a judge. You're not the... Stop putting yourself in the seat of judgment because you're not a judge. God is. Great white throne judgment. But for those who follow Jesus, praise the Lord, your sins will not be judged. Okay, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. Like if I say, you know, your sins are not judged, they are cast in the sea of forgetfulness. He won't even remember them. You might bring them up to him, but he's like, no comprende. I think that's what he's going to say. No comprendo. Is it comprendo? Help me. No comprendo. Sorry. No comprendo. I don't understand. I don't know what you're talking about, because all I see on you is the righteousness of God. I see Christ. I see the robe of Christ. I see the perfection of Christ. I see Christ. Christ before you, Christ behind you, Christ above you, Christ beneath you, Christ around you. That's all. He sees. That's why I'm not going to get all worked up about my past and my sins and my failures, because they are covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. Covered by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Listen, I'm going to blow your mind even more. Your sins in the past, your sins in the present, and your sins of the future are covered by the blood. What? What? You say, Pastor, that's scandalous. Exactly. God's grace is scandalous. It's a scandalous grace. That doesn't make sense. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It is a gift. It's not a reward for anything you've done. It's a gift that comes from God. Salvation is a gift from God. It just needs to be received. Received by faith. I receive. I repent. I repent of my sins. I turn from my wicked ways. I turn from the kind of life I live. And now I want to follow Jesus. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, for if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He is a new creation. Creation. New person. Transformed into the image of God. All right. Y'all got that? That's a gift. You can't earn it. It's not a reward for being good. You can't. And some people mix it up. They think if I'm good, I'm saved. No. All of your goodness stinks before the Lord. That's what the scriptures say. It's as filthy rags. You ever smell the filthy rag? Oof. That's how it stinks, as a stench before God. So that's a gift. That's a gift. Salvation is a gift that has to be received. Now, rewards are given based on merit. Now God says, now that you're saved, I want to reward you. And we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For what purpose? For reward. There's going to be an assembly. like I sat in fourth grade. And he's going to start giving out rewards. Returning things to us. That we may what? Receive. Judgment seat of Christ. All the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad, we are going to receive the things we have done before the Lord. Now, everything that we've done unto the Lord is going to be rewarded. Everything that we haven't is going to be burnt up, is going to disappear. On that day, there's going to be great reward, but also great loss. Are you hearing me? I don't mean loss in the sense of being judged by God in a harsh, shameful way. There's going to be great loss because so many people are spending their lives building something they think will last. And when they stand before Jesus, it's all going to burn up. It's all going to disappear because it wasn't done for God. It was done for us. And this is the thing about the judgment seat of Christ. God judges not just our actions. He judges our heart and our intentions and our thoughts. What? So if we do something in the name of God, but it's for us, that whoosh, disappeared. If you do something and you say, you know what, I'm doing all this good, but your heart is in the wrong place, psh, disappears. And I'm just fearful that there's so many people in this world. And
who are following him, but they don't realize they're living their life for the things of the flesh, and they're living their lives for themselves, and they're missing God's purpose. And at the end of their life, they're going to look back and they did it all. And that's why there's going to be great loss. But on the contrary, whatever you do for Jesus, it will last forever. There's eternal reward. It will never disappear. It lasts forever. You will be rewarded for what you do for Christ. You may not receive earthly reward, but you will be rewarded for what you do for Jesus Christ. And you will receive that reward at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not something to dread. It's something to be looking forward to. And this is what I wrote. I wrote a paragraph here for you. I says, a lot of us are working really hard for earthly rewards that will soon fade away when God wants us to work towards an eternal reward that lasts forever. An eternal reward. What I do is not for earthly rewards. At least that's what my prayer of my heart is. Lord Jesus, everything I do is for your honor and for your glory. You receive the glory. You receive the honor. That's how I try to live my life. And some of it is going to burn up because some of it was my ego and some of it was wrong motive and some of it was because I had a bad intention. But my prayer is that most of it will be rewarded by God. And that's why it's so important not to seek the approval of men, but to seek the approval of God. That's why it's so important not to seek the applause of men, because once the applause of men ends, it's over. Seek the applause of heaven. When God, you see Jesus face to face, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. With that said, now let's go back to our verse. look to yourselves. This is John. John is writing this towards the end of his life. He's an old man. He has experience. He has wisdom. He has a grandfather anointing on his life. He has wisdom and understanding. He's wanting us to take note of something really important. And he says, look to yourself. Examine yourself. Pay attention to your life. Look at your life. This is John. He's writing. He's sharing his heart. Towards the end, he's like, people, look to yourself, that you may not lose the things we work for. In other words, what John is saying, you could lose what you've worked for. Isn't that a little scary? Like, you could lose what you've worked for. And he says, that we may receive a full reward. What is John saying? That there's that you could actually receive partial reward or no reward. So John is saying, you know, pay attention because you want to receive the full reward, not just partial. How many want to receive a full reward, not just partial or no reward? So let's talk about an example in Scripture where people received a partial or no reward. So we have here in Matthew or Mark chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus goes to Nazareth and he wants to see his people. He wants to go in his town. Now, during this particular time, they were all anxious for the Messiah. They wanted to receive the Messiah. They were looking forward to the Messiah. So the Messiah arrives, and this verse always rocks my world because look at what it says. He, what does it say, church? Could. And what's really incredible is that it doesn't say he would not do mighty work there. Or he didn't want to do mighty work there. It says he couldn't. Isn't that interesting? He could do no mighty work there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. So Jesus goes to Nazareth. He walks into his home. What's interesting about Nazareth? It's his hometown. When they saw Jesus, they didn't see Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. They saw little JC. Oh, wow, JC grew up. Wow, his hair got long. Check out his beard. Wow, his beard is fire, right? Look at that hair. Wow, look at JC. He's a man, but he's just JC. He's just Jesus. He's the carpenter. He's just a cabinet maker. He's a table maker. He's just JC, and that's how his town viewed him. And you say, what was it? What was the reason why Jesus couldn't do any mighty work there? And why was it that only a few sick people got healed? The prior verse tells us. You ready to go backwards? Here we go. Verse 4. Ooh. Verse 4. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that a prophet can be welcomed anywhere except at home. In other words, the reason why Jesus could not do miracles was because there was a spirit of dishonor. They dishonored Jesus. They did not honor Jesus as the King, as the Messiah, as the Son of God. They didn't honor him. And because there was a lack of honor, Jesus could not perform the miracles. Jesus could not do the miracles. What is honor? Honor can be defined as a valuing, seeing as weighty, precious, valuable, appreciate, to esteem, to favorably regard, or to respect. It's talking, for example, of gold. Gold is weighty, it's valuable, it's precious. Let's add a diamond to that. Ladies, when you have your diamond engagement ring, where do you put it? Do you put it next to the toilet bowl? Well, maybe you do. I don't know. Do you put it in the shower? Do you put it on the sink? Probably sometimes, but you go after it, right, when you finish doing the dishes or whatever you do. But when you want to store it, you place it in a place, a position of honor, don't you? It's in a cabinet where you open and there is the diamond. That's what honor is signifying. According to the Greeks during this particular time, that's what they understood honor to mean, as valued, something of value, something of importance. So to dishonor is to treat as common, ordinary, or as menial. So his family, his relatives, those in Nazareth, treated JC as common, as ordinary, as menial, not important. They didn't value him. So Jesus couldn't perform miracles there because God operates under the principle of honor. Honor is the currency of heaven. And there's a flow of honor that flows from the throne down to us here on earth. And Jesus said, I hope I'm not jumping the gun, I'm going to run out of time, but Jesus said, when you honor him, you're honoring the Father. When you dishonor Jesus, you're dishonoring the Father. So what were they doing? Dishonoring the Father by dishonoring the one that the Father sent. For God so loved the world that he sent as an ambassador, as a redeemer, as a savior. God the Father sent Jesus to be his representative. And to reject Jesus is to reject the Father. How many are with me? Y'all still with me? So when they dishonor Jesus, that's just meaning, oh, he's just JC. No, they were dishonoring the Father. And when there's a spirit of dishonor, you will always see a lack of the Spirit of God. You always see it. You always see it. Man, I wish I had like 30 more minutes. Was it 10:25? I'm going to try to shoot for another 10 minutes. Is that good? Okay. So dishonor. Let's look at an example of where honor was given to Jesus, and let's see what happens. So here we have a Roman centurion in Matthew 8, verse 8a. Did I jump? Okay, yeah, Roman centurion. Let me give you the backstory. He had a servant that was, please heal my servant. Please, can you come and heal my servant? And Jesus said, okay, I will go. But then this is the centurion's response to what Jesus said, I will go. He says, Lord, I am not worthy. What does he say? I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. An example, it's as if a colonel of the U.S. Marines approaches a home in Iraq, and an Iraqi plumber opens the door and invites the Marine in, and the Marine says, I'm not worthy to go into your home. That doesn't make sense, right? Same situation here. The Marine, which is the centurion, said, I am not worthy that you should come into my roof, or should come under my roof. But this is what he says. You guys with me? Tracking with me? He says, but only what? Speak a word. Speak a word. Just speak the word. And my servant will be healed. I love it. You don't even have to come to my house. I'm not even worthy for you to come in. But just speak a word. Why is this so important and powerful? Let's keep reading. Because verse 9 tells us this, that for I also am a man under authority. Authority. Notice, reward and honor always flows when you're under God-given authority. And he says, I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and they go. And I say to the other, come, and he comes. And I say to the servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus saw this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, or surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. What do you think happened? He was healed. Why? Because the centurion understood honor. He understood authority. He understood the flow of honor. He understood that honor flowed from the throne of God. And he honored and valued Jesus. Isn't that a stark contrast compared to how the Nazareth valued Jesus? And how his family and relatives valued Jesus? That's why Jesus couldn't do anything. But this man understood who Jesus was. This man understood he was a king. This man understood he was a Messiah. This man understood that he was a man who was in charge. And he had power over sickness and power over disease. And this man just said, send your word. Send your word. And Jesus looks at this man and goes, oh my goodness. I have never seen faith like this in Israel. Why? Because they honored. He honored God as the Messiah, as the Savior, as the King. He valued him. He placed him in a position of honor. He placed him in a position to highly esteem Jesus. And that leads us to the honor principle, where we're going to talk about more next week. And this is the honor principle. We see this in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. It says, those who honor me, I will honor. The principle, God honors honor. And it's such an important principle, because if you can understand this principle, the flow of blessing and the flow of reward and the flow of God's favor and the flow of God's goodness will begin to be released over your life. Favor will bring you places you never imagined, and honor will open the door to the room of those places you never thought you would be. Honor releases the favor and blessing of God. Honor releases the goodness of God. Honor releases the power of God in your life. So what was the key? It comes down to honor. Honor is the key to receiving reward. Not in just in this life, but in the life to come, in the life ahead, when we learn to honor people, we honor God. But we first honor Jesus. He says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. That's what we talked about. For God so loved the world that he sent. And if you don't honor the Son, then you don't honor the Father. We first honor Jesus. But then you say, well, how do I honor Jesus? Is it like go to church? Is it read my Bible? Is it pray? Is it say, I honor you, Jesus? Those are all great, and those are honoring to God. But when it comes to honor, it revolves around people. 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 God wants you to honor those in authority. God wants you to honor your colleagues and peers. And God wants you to honor those who are entrusted to your care. Here at TC, one of our values, you know it, is honor. And I simplify it this way. We honor up, we honor around, and we honor down. Why? Because there's great reward when we honor. There's great blessing when we honor. For example, it says here, I hit the wrong. Here, next one. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whoever I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. So this is Jesus. Jesus is saying, now, if I send you people, if I send you people and you honor them and receive them, you're honoring Jesus. You're with me? You're tracking with me? So how does that work? First of all, we believe every first-time guest, every person that walks through this door has been sent by God to us. So what are we going to do? We're going to honor them. We're going to honor one another. Of course, we believe that God sent my wife and I here as his representatives. God called us here. We didn't come here because we put in a job application, went on ZipRecruiter, and kind of just like searched, let's see what's a good church to go to. No, but God called us here. And when you honor your pastors, you're honoring Jesus. For I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. We're going to go deeper next week, but we honor up those in authority. We honor around us, our colleagues and our peer, and we honor those entrusted in our care. And I believe that where there's a spirit of honor, you will always see the presence of God's blessing. You will always see it. You will always see the presence of God's blessing when there's a spirit of honor. And when there's a spirit of dishonor, you always see a spirit of dissension, a spirit of lack, a spirit of confusion. And my thought is this. I wonder if you're missing God's best in your life because you have not honored God with the honor principle. And we dishonor through our social media, and we dishonor through text messages, and we dishonor with our thoughts, because we can dishonor with our thoughts. We can dishonor with our hearts. We can dishonor with our words. And I wonder if we're missing God's best because of a spirit of dishonor. And you say, why is this so important, Pastor? Why are rewards so important? Like, why, and I end with this, why, so if I don't get a reward, big deal. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Like, why is the reward so important? You tracking with me? Huh? Here, this is why. You ready? This is how we're going to end. Oh, we're going to skip that one. Here we go. Because in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, it says here, the 24 elders. The 24 elders symbolizes the church. Okay, in Revelation. They will fall down before him. And it says, before who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever. What will they lay down? They will lay their crowns before the throne. What's the purpose of the reward? So we have something to offer Jesus at the throne. Keep it up there. Hold on. I'm not done. Hold on. I'm not done. Quite back. Bring it back. I'll tell you one. Right? So we have something to offer Jesus. Think about that. When you go to see Jesus and you're before the throne, will you have something to offer him in worship? That's why all of this earthly stuff, really, it's good, it's fun, but it's not eternal. I want to work on my crown. Not so that I can walk around with the crown, so that I can cast it at his feet and lay my crown before him. Here, second verse, here, then you can take it away. Here we go. And it says, what do they say? You ready? What do they say? Here we go. You are worthy. We honor you because everything we do, it's for his honor and his glory. Our Lord and God, to receive glory and what, church? Honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Let's say that again. Lord, you are worthy. And here, just imagine you taking that crown. Go ahead. Thank you so much. You're taking that crown and you're casting it at the feet of Jesus, and you're saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by all things everything was created and have their being. For you, oh God. Why do we work on rewards? Because it's for Jesus. Everything we do is for Jesus, that he will get all the glory, that he will get all the honor, that he will get all the praise for our life here lived on earth. I don't know about you, but I want my life to make a difference for God. So next week we're going to talk a little more about this principle and how to get a little more practical on where honor begins and honoring in our homes. And we talked about this earlier this year, but we're going to go deeper this time around. We talk about honor in our homes, honor civic authority, honoring people around us. Because this is what I believe. I want our church to experience the honors reward blessing, not just here on earth, but in the world to come. Do you want to receive the honors reward in your life? Do you want to receive that? I do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together. We just pray that, God, you would help us Jesus, help us. Help us grow and help us to receive this truth into our lives, God. Help us, God, to really follow you and to understand this principle that it would change our lives. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Burn this principle in our hearts that we may receive a reward. Well, your head bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you have not received Jesus in your heart and in your life, you have not asked him to forgive you of your sins, whether watching online or in person, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Anyone, 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 anyone. Maybe you're online. Wherever you're at, wherever you're watching, just simply pray this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a brand new start, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for every person here today that's taking that step of faith with you. I pray, God, that you would walk with them and encourage them and help them. God, thank you for the brand new start that they have in their life. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen and amen. Do you receive that this morning? I pray that you do. So this is what we want you to do. We want you to get into a honors reward transform group. Okay, that's how you're going to dig deeper. All the resources are free online, and it comes with an app, and you can get it. You'll read the book, watch the videos. You're going to stop at the honors reward table. Is it outside? Where is the table today? Outside? Okay, great. Or right in the lobby. You'll see honor reward banner, and sign up online, and just get into this teaching. Listen, this is another thing I want you to commit to, coming for the next 4 weeks. Could you do that? Come for the next 4 weeks, and if you're away, watch us online, join us online. Would appreciate that. If you're a first-time guest here today, take your connection card, bring it to the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you. We want to honor you with a gift. And last, we have, if you have a financial gift you want to give, bring it to the back wall. There's mailboxes back there. Just drop it in there. And if you like prayer, if you need prayer, just come forward. We'd love to pray with you. Have an awesome, awesome week, everybody. We love you. God bless you. Take care.